That was pretty weak. Good evening.
Good evening.
It's a beautiful evening to celebrate our Savior who came to earth. And so I just want to thank this group for all the hard work they've put into this evening's service, and Micah, who's going to give the message as well. Did everybody get a candle on your way in? Everybody's good? Okay. Well, I just want to welcome you to Cornerstone Bible Fellowship. We're glad you're here this evening again just to remember to celebrate what Jesus did in coming to earth. Of course, we remember why he did that, and we'll talk about it as we go along. Kind of a unique evening. We're going to hear about some of the histories behind the songs and different things that we sing typically at this time of year. And so I hope you enjoy this evening. Thank you for coming, and turn it over to you.
Where the greatest story ever told begins. Just a tiny heart that all creation needed, and the world forever changed because of that one. Where a star led to a stable, baby's cry made angels sing, and the search to find the Savior led to heaven's humble King. Where the wise men found the answer, the shepherds found the Lamb, and I found my Emmanuel because of Bethlehem. Love is one. Hope is new. Heaven's light has made the darkness disappear. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. God with us, all because of one man. Child in a cradle to a king upon the cross. He knew the world was leading him to pay a crimson cost. And in the loving arms to carry the weight of all our sin, he took the fall it happened all because of Bethlehem. Love is one, hope is true. Heaven's light has made the darkness disappear. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. God with us, all because of Bethlehem. That love left empty to a Father's right hand throne, and the promise he's preparing us a place we'll soon call home. He who came to earth from heaven is coming after him. Our eyes will see eternity because of that from him. Love is gone, hope is real. Heaven's light has made the darkness disappear. Peace on earth, goodwill to men. God with us, all because of Bethlehem. God with us, all because of Bethlehem.
Hallelujah. Many have probably seen a Christmas pageant where three young boys dress up as the three kings, complete with crowns and gifts, while the choir and congregation sing. This hymn may be the primary reason for this tradition and is peculiarly American contribution to the repertoire of this season. The author and composer John Henry Hopkins, Jr., wrote the carol around 1857, based on the narrative of the journey of the Magi in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12. While the traditional number of Magi is usually set at three, probably because of the three gifts that the biblical narrative discusses, it is unusual for Epiphany hymns to actually identify the number of Magi as three. Stanzas 2, 3, and 4 describe in detail the symbolic nature of each of the three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. The imagery of the star is central to the Epiphany season, and the narrative, the refrain focuses on the star and invites us to join the Magi in the following its light.
So far, field and fountain, moor and mountain, following yonder star. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Born a king on Bethlehem's plain, gold I bring to crown him again. King forever, see never, over us all to reign. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Frankincense to offer have I, incense on the deity nigh, hearing, praising, all in raising, worship him God on high. Star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Myrrh is mine, its bitter perfume brings a life of gathering gloom, sorrowing, sighing, bleeding, dying, sealed in the stone cold tomb. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light. Glorious now, behold him arise, of God and sacrifice. Alleluia, alleluia, sounds through the earth and skies. Oh, star of wonder, star of night, star with royal beauty bright, westward leading, still proceeding, guide us to thy perfect light.
The first Noel. It is one of the most famous carols, a herald proclaiming the coming of Christmas. But how old is this song we grew up with, and where does it come from? The first Noel's origins are humble, not unlike the story it tells. Originating in Cornwall, a county in southwest England, the first Noel came about during the 13th or 14th century. Miracle plays were among the earliest forms of theater and came about during this time. The plays portrayed famous Bible stories, and the story of Jesus' birth would have been amongst the most popular. The first Noel is thought to have originated from one of these miracle plays. Perhaps the carol was written for a play, or simply inspired by a play. Either way, it took on a vibrant life of its own beyond the stage. The first Noel was written to express the excitement and wonder of Christmas. Hundreds of years ago, during a time without internet or phones, the people of Cornwall sang it in the streets as a way to spread hope and joy. The world may look very different today, but we still gather to sing the song for the same reasons. The song is a testament to the fact that no matter what the earth looks like, no matter how much time passes, the encouraging story of Jesus will always connect with the hearts that are desperate for him.
The first Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields where they lay keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep.
Thank you.
Away in a Manger. Away in a Manger is another one of our most popular and most sung Christmas carols. Many have claimed down through the years that it was written by Martin Luther, the German religious reformer. But research may tell us differently, and it may have originated in America. James R. Murray titled the tune as Luther's Cradle Hymn in 1887. Murray declared that Martin Luther had written the song and even sang it to his children every night before they went to sleep. Naturally, the story caught on, and Luther's popularity helped the song become even more beloved. This all came as quite a surprise to German families of that time period, who did not sing Away in a Manger to their children at bedtime. They had never even heard of the song until it arrived in Europe from the United States. Who truly wrote the song may always remain a mystery, but millions have been forever blessed by the words that take us back to the birth of our Savior. God became flesh and dwelt among us, a humble beginning for the King of Kings. He came and He gave that we might know Him, and with that relationship, He will take us to heaven to reign with Him throughout eternity.
Are singing, and I know the reason the Savior is born. It's Christmas, the bells are ringing, and I feel like shouting joy to the world. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask Thee to stay. Are singing, and I know the reason the Savior is born. It's Christmas, the bells are ringing, and I feel like shouting joy to the world. It's Christmas, the angels are singing. And I know the reason the Savior is born. It's Christmas, the bells are ringing, and I feel like shouting joy to the world. Joy to the world. Joy to the world.
The Fisk Jubilee Singers, drawing their name from Leviticus 25, the year of Jubilee, were founded as a 10-member ensemble touring group to raise funds for debt-ridden Fisk University. taking the entire contents of the university treasury with them for travel expenses, they departed on October 6, 1871 from Nashville on their difficult but ultimately successful 18-month tour, a triumph that is still celebrated annually as Jubilee Day on the campus. John Wesley Work, Jr., born 1872, died 1925, led the Fisk Jubilee Singers from 1898 to 1904. As the son of a church choir director, Work grew up in Nashville loving music. Even though he earned his master's in Latin and went on to teach ancient Latin and Greek, his first love continued to be music. He became the first African-American collector of Negro spirituals. Collecting these songs proved to be a daunting task for Work because they were passed down orally from plantation to plantation, where very few were ever written down. But Work proved up to the challenge, publishing his first book, The New Jubilee Songs, as sung by the Fisk Jubilee Singers 6 years later. It was in the second volume that Go Tell It on the Mountain first appeared. The original singers of the song fulfilled the same important task the angels gave the shepherds that first Christmas night outside of Bethlehem, proclaiming that Jesus Christ is born. And thanks to John Wesley Work, so can we.
While shepherds kept their watching o'er the silent flocks by night, behold, throughout the heavens there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus that hailed our Savior's birth. Come tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Come tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born.
Come All Ye Faithful was originally known as Adeste Fidelis, and most likely written by John Francis Wade, a Catholic artist. It remained a Latin masterpiece for 100 years before being translated into English by Frederick Oakley. It's a simple carol that tells the story of the Christ child and encourages us to join with the angels in celebrating and declaring the birth of our Savior. It's an invitation to join in with the praise and worship of heaven, to remember that Jesus gave up his heavenly home to become flesh for us. It takes us to the fields of Bethlehem, reminds us that Jesus' birth was proclaimed by a great company of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests." The invitation to all is just to come and adore. The repetition of this one line builds emphasis and the persuasion to forget what is holding us back, to let go of all else that might be accompanying our minds, and to just come. To take a step from one place to another, whether physically or spiritually, where we can simply come and adore Christ the Lord.
Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying God and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them.
Sweetly clear.
Trey, do we have Terry now? Gotcha. All right. It's very important to have Terry for this song here. So.
Enjoyed this? Yes. I have too. In fact, I spoke with Susan earlier this evening. She said she'd been waiting for this all day. I said, I've been waiting for this all year. It's a very special night. I've waited for this for 9 months. We're going to look at this evening a little bit at about Jesus' perspective from this night. Because he's been here since the beginning. He's always been here. He was here at creation. We've heard this account of this evening of Jesus' birth from the three wise men. We've heard it from Mary's perspective. We've even heard this story from Joseph's perspective. But have we ever heard what Jesus' thoughts were on what took place this evening? In John 1:1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Later we find out that Jesus is the Word. He's the living Word. and that he was there from the very beginning of creation. We've talked about that in Sunday school class. Jesus was there the whole time. From the time that Mary became pregnant with Jesus, and he came as a man, as a human being, to this earth, he was there in Mary's womb. How do we know that? We know that because in Luke 1, 41 through 45, it reads, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she cried out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women. Blessed is the fruit of your womb, and how it has happened to me that the mother of the Lord would come to me. For behold, when the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what has been spoken to her by the Lord.'" Who was the other baby? John the Baptist. He knew the Christ was right there. He knew Jesus was there. And what a joy it brought to him to know that. What is Jesus thinking this whole time? In Luke 2:7 it reads, "She gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in clothes, laid him in the manger, and because there was no room for them in the inn." Jesus is born that evening, that morning. All the songs we've sang tonight, they refer to this many times, about how Jesus was born and laid in a manger. Think about that whole time. One of my favorite things about this time of year, this very evening that we're going to participate here in a minute, is to just sit and quietly contemplate that very thought. Mary, Joseph, that newborn king, that baby. The star was in the sky. The babe was in the manger. Jesus, the creator of the world, was laying in the manger with the star in the sky, the light of the world. What are his thoughts? He's just been birthed by his mother. His life as a human is about to begin. He knows everything that's going to take place. He knew everything that was taking place the entire time he was in his mother's womb. We know, and we think about these things, about how God has come. He's taken our sin through his sacrifice, Jesus Christ. Just a baby at that very point, but also a lamb. We Three Kings of Orient Are mentions he was born a king. The kings, the wise men, they come and they say, "Where is he who has been born a king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." Jesus wasn't just born a baby that would become a king. No. The moment he was birthed, he was king. He was king at the birth, at the Feast of Trumpets. What an incredible, perfect timing for Jesus Christ to be born. Not at all by accident. Our Creator, Heavenly Father, God, none of this was by accident. Mary didn't go 2 weeks overdue. She didn't give birth early. She gave birth at the exact moment for the star to be in the sky and for him to be birthed a king. And that's why we celebrate this incredible thing. That's why we celebrate this. And I hope in these next few moments, as we light candles and sing Silent Night, that you get this opportunity to experience. What I love so much about this time of year is to just sit quietly and to contemplate. Of course, I do mean you should sing Silent Night. But to quietly think about that as we sit, just sit in a nice light, low light, and to think about what it was like for Jesus to sit there in that manger, in that stable, and just be there in the glory, the quietness, and the peace that had just been birthed into the world.
On a cold Christmas Eve in 1818, Pastor Joseph Franz Marr walked to 3 kilometers from his home in the Austrian village of Abendorf bei Salzburg to his friend's house, to his friend Franz Xaver Gruber in the neighboring town of Arnsdorf bei Laffen. Marr brought with him a poem he had written some 2 years earlier. He desperately needed a carol for the Christmas Eve midnight mass that was only hours away. He hoped his friend, a school teacher who also served as the church's choir master and organist, could set his poem to music. And one of the many amazing things about this carol is that Franz Gruber composed the melody for Marr in just a few hours on that December 24th, 1818. Recent flooding of the nearby Salzach River had put the church organ out of commission, so Gruber composed the music for guitar accompaniment. A few hours later, Gruber finished his composition. He and Marr stood before the altar of the St. Nicholas Church in Oberndorf to perform their own work. A local choir group backed them up as the sounds of a brand new carol broke the silence of that stille Nacht, silent night.
Amen. If I could have my candle lighters start. Thank you.
Sing that with us.
Holy is Shepherds quake at the sight. Glory stream from heaven afar. Heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Silent night, holy night, star, lend thy light, with the angels let us sing. Alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Amen. You can extinguish your candles if you'd like. I just want to just take a quick moment just to thank everyone that helped me in the last couple 3 months get this all ready to go. I thank Pastor Josh and just his support in this idea tonight. Micah, Terry, of course, everyone up here, Ethan, Jackson, my wife Shannon, Bob, Angela, the LeCamps for your special, John and Glenn, Eric, the Wilson girls. I think I've got you all, but I just want to thank you for this. Is something that is, I told Terry many times today and throughout this last week, that this sitting right here just being able to play is what I wanted to do. The whole planning and organizing thing is something I'm usually pretty good at, but I'm not a patient person. So, but I trust you've enjoyed a walk through just the history of some of these songs that we have sang for years. Maybe you learned something tonight about where some of these songs came from. And it's just the root and the quiet beginnings of songs that have just been sang for hundreds of years now. Just want to pray now and just send us on our way. And I trust you have a Merry Christmas. Trust that you will take a moment tomorrow in the midst of all the family gatherings and opening of presents and whatever you've got planned to do, that you will just pause and understand that why we're here tonight, why we were here this morning, why we choose to come back every Sunday is all about the birth of this little baby. A cry that pierced 400 years of silence in ushering in the Messiah that would live a perfect life, die the most cruel death that you can imagine for us, for our sins. Father, thank you. Thank you for songwriters that put lyrics and music down so, Lord, that hundreds of years later, we're singing it right here in Newton, Iowa, about your son. Father, I pray that we would just take a moment to pause tomorrow, and may it just not be tomorrow, Lord. May it be something that we are constantly reminded of the goodness of you, the goodness that you would see us in such a way, Lord, that you would put your own son to death for us. Father, we love you. Send us home our separate ways. Lord, keep us safe. And may this new year, Lord, this time next year, there may be a couple empty spots in the pews. We don't know what you've got planned, but Lord, we'll trust you and we'll put all of our faith and trust in you in this coming year. Lord, we love you. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. You are dismissed.